Did you receive an Amazon Echo or Google Home for Christmas? Well, you can easily use these devices as your Lutheran listening loudspeaker. On Amazon Echo, say, Alexa, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Alexa, play Lutheran Public Radio. On Google Home, say, Hey Google, play Lutheran Talk Radio, or Hey Google, play Lutheran Public Radio. Listen to Lutheran Talk or Lutheran Music 24/7 with Amazon Echo or Google Home.
Good evening, ladies and remaining gentlemen. I'm Seth Meyers, and I'll be your host tonight. Welcome to the 75th annual Golden Globes, and Happy New Year, Hollywood. It's 2018, marijuana is finally allowed, and sexual harassment finally isn't. It's gonna be a good year.
A new day is on the horizon. And when that new day finally dawns, it will be because of a lot of magnificent women, many of whom are right here in this room tonight, and some pretty phenomenal men.
That's host Seth Meyers and Oprah Winfrey from last night's Golden Globe Awards. Oprah Winfrey receiving the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. And the theme of last night appeared to be not only the Me Too movement and Hollywood's attempt to say we're going to no longer put up with sexual harassment in our midst, but also, at least at the end there with the Lifetime Achievement Award, kind of a little bit of a religious revival mixed with a political rally, people speculating almost immediately about whether or not Oprah Winfrey was beginning a presidential run at the Golden Globes. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about the Golden Globe Awards. Joining us on this Monday afternoon, Pastor Ted Giese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
I've been following some of the coverage of the Golden Globes afterwards, kind of the post-coverage. And the two stories that I see again and again are Oprah Winfrey getting the Lifetime Achievement Award and perhaps announcing for president in 2020. It's hard to tell. And that everybody wore black for some reason. Why am I not reading about the winners and the losers of the awards themselves?
I think there's a couple of reasons for this. One reason is, and it's probably been like this for a long time, but it seems to be getting more and more like it all the time now, is that this award, the awards that are given out by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association really kicks off the awards season. So they start off this whole thing, and then eventually we're going to get to the Oscars, right? There'll be the SAG Awards and other awards in there too. But it's almost like more and more these days, they are positioning themselves as kind of the trendsetter, or they're providing like a thesis statement for the season. They're inaugurating in what the focus might be this season of awards. And again, there's a part of that that's important too, is that this is not one of these kinds of awards where the actors and the filmmakers and the people involved in filmmaking are voting on each other. This is one where it is not a meritocracy like that, but it's an oligarchy. So the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is a small group of about 80 or so people who make the nominations and then vote on the categories to come up with the winners. So it's a small group of like-minded, mostly individuals who are involved in setting it all up. So if there's a kind of theme that seems to run through the whole thing, it's probably not by accident. And this year has certainly had a very strong and obvious theme that they were addressing and grabbing by the horns.
So explain the fashion statements being made with most of them, except for those who apparently didn't get the memo, wearing all black.
Yeah, almost all of the women wore black. The only one that didn't wear black was the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, and she's of East Indian descent, Meher Tanta. She wore red, and she wore red because in the Indian culture, it's basically red is like their basic black. So it was kind of a, for her, in her culture, that would be like wearing black as well. So a little maybe nuanced in that particular way, but everyone else was wearing black, particularly because of the focus that they wanted to bring to the Hollywood harassment scandals that have been coming out fast and furious over these last number of months, and also in support of a couple of movements called, one called Me Too, it's kind of a hashtag kind of a thing, and another one called Time's Up, which again focus on harassment in Hollywood, you know, between usually like people like Harvey Weinstein, who was involved with a large company, right? And then also even with actors like Kevin Spacey.
So what else about the awards were kind of shaped by the backdrop of Hollywood's, well, I mean, I think the public take was these are people who all knew what was going on, and now they're all wanting to kind of congratulate themselves on having purged their industry.
This is a complicated thing, right? So even Seth Meyer, who had the tough job of being the MC for the night, the host, who the job generally is one where you have to crack jokes. So if it's going to have this kind of tone to the evening, you know, what do you do with all of this? Like, how do you crack jokes? Of course, they're all insiders, as it were, and they did spend a number of moments along the way where they made sure that they wanted this to be bigger than just them. So they would mention that it, you know, this happens outside of Hollywood, it happens in other industries as well, and they encourage other people to talk about things that are going on in their industries. And then they also, some of them, instead of bringing their newest boyfriend or, you know, newest girlfriend or something like that, they opted instead to bring an activist that's involved in this kind of work, helping women who have been abused or harassed, you know, sexually. So they tried to make it bigger than just something about them, but it is kind of a tightrope to walk because they were all in it. So one of the jokes or one of the comments that Seth Meyers made was that, you know, like he was talking about like people, you know, having your name read out, you know, as a man, you know, this might be one of the few times in the last little while where that might be an okay thing. Like, and, you know, because so many people have had their names show up in the media and then all of a sudden now, like Kevin Spacey, for instance, it's not for an award for like his work on House of Cards. It's for other things that are going on that are deplorable.
And you also note that ordinarily the president, especially this president, would be a prominent subject of the jocularity. He wasn't so much last night, was he?
No. You know, last year, of course, he had a lot of jokes directed his way. And Meryl Streep, who won the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award last year, specifically brought him up. This year, not the case. So there were some jokes that were where he was the kind of part of the joke, but he wasn't the main joke. For instance, Seth Meyer was talking about how he wasn't the most powerful Seth in the room. He said, "I'm not even the most powerful Seth in the room tonight." And then it cuts to this other guy named Seth Rogen. And then he said, "Remember when he was making the big problems with North Korea?" So this is without actually mentioning Trump's name, you know, they get a little bit of a joke that involves President Trump. But his name didn't even, I don't even think it came up more than once, if even that. But there were a couple of jokes that kind of pointed or alluded or got around to him.
What do you make of the shows that were, and the work that was both nominated and won? The big winner, you say, was Big Little Lies. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, Big Little Lies, like this is the funny thing about how this stuff goes, is that all of the shows that I actually watch, none of them won any awards, and not many of them were actually even nominated. So a couple of the ones that I watched, you know, like Twin Peaks or The Crown, I've started watching that, or Stranger Things, they had some nominations, but they didn't really win any awards. So the big one that won was Big Little Lies, and that is put together by David E. Kelly. So people might remember him from TV shows like Picket Fences, Ally McBeal, The Practice, Boston Public, and then Boston Legal. And it stars Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman and Laura Dern. So there's some movie star power in the show itself. And it's a kind of about these three mothers that all have first grader kids, and just their lives are kind of unraveling. And then it winds up getting involved in a murder. So, you know, that's what that movie, that show's about. I haven't watched it at all. Another one that got some awards was The Handmaid's Tale. And that one is written originally as a book by a Canadian writer, Margaret Atwood. And it's pretty peculiar kind of story. It won Best Actress for a TV series drama by Elizabeth Moss. That was the actress that won. She's the main actor. And then it won also Best TV Series Drama. So that one, of course, is one where you start to see the fingerprints of what the Hollywood Foreign Press Association likes and what they think that, you know, they want to recommend maybe for you to watch if you have not watched it already. And this is one where it's about, you know, religious-based atrocities in the United States. They get, you know, it's a fictional kind of dystopic kind of view of things. And it also has this focus on how the country's women suddenly become second-class citizens, and if anyone tries to go against that, then they are punished. And the peculiar thing with all of it is that it has this kind of Christian angle to it, but in reality, in the world that we live in today, you know, Hollywood will say, well, you know, this kind of thing could happen in America. It does happen in the world today, but it generally happens with groups like ISIS or the Taliban and not in Christian settings.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about the Golden Globe Awards. And when we come back, we'll turn from Netflix and the little screen to film and the big screen.
Each month, the Lutheran Witness magazine brings together leading thinkers and writers to cover a range of vital topics relating to Christian life and faith, culture and theology. So whether your 2018 New Year's resolution is to read more widely, think more broadly, or grow more deeply in your faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine can help. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You could even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. PerformanceFitness618.com.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. EmmanuelPress.us.
Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Golden Globe Awards. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, talk about films at the Golden Globes. How did they fare?
Well, again, here, you know, with film, some of the movies that I, because this one is like right at the beginning of the award seasons, you know, it's like there, you have this big list of movies and you're going to look at it and you go, well, I haven't even seen any of these movies yet. Some of them come quickly, quietly, and then they're here and they're gone. For instance, The Shape of Water was a movie that I wanted to see, but it kind of left town before I had a chance to see it. So that's by Guillermo del Toro. And that one is kind of like, imagine if the elevator pitch probably was The Creature from the Black Lagoon falls in love, or, you know, kind of a thing. So it's a little bit of a peculiar movie, but pretty interesting looking movie. I just haven't seen it yet. I'd like to. That film won Best Director. So that was one that I'm looking forward to. But I mean, it was up against pretty stiff competition. So, you know, in that same category, there was Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk and Ridley Scott for All the Money in the World and Steven Spielberg for The Post. And then also this Martin McDonagh, who made a movie called Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And that's the one that really won the most awards in the film category. It won for Best Supporting Actor, Sam Rockwell. It also won for Best Screenplay. So it was really the one that had the biggest, Best Actress as well, Frances McDormand, who's in the film, as well as Sam Rockwell. So these were the big winners of the night. Now, the couple that I did see, movies I saw that I was pretty happy about, was that The Darkest Hour. That one actually was the one I'm most happy about. The Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman won for Best Actor. So he had just a phenomenal role in that film and did such great acting. And we just talked about that one last week. So those were some of the kind of interesting moments in the film category. I guess the other one is there's a movie called Lady Bird that came out as well. And we actually happened to see it in the cheap theaters. It had gone to the cheap theaters already. But this one is one starring Saoirse Ronan, who is an Irish actress, and she is growing up in California, so she has an American American accent. And as an actress, she's working on this, you know, interesting part where it's a coming-of-age story. She's the teenage daughter in a family who's going to a Roman Catholic school and wants to kind of move away from home, but wants to move to the other side of the whole entire country to get as far away from her parents, particularly her mother, as humanly possible.
I want to want your thoughts on The Post, because you've got a trifecta. You've got Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, and you have Steven Spielberg in this film, behind this film. I don't think you could name three bigger power stars that have been, well, who kind of have maintained a reputation, a respectable reputation in Hollywood, given the current context, except for Meryl Streep, who seemed to like Roman Polanski for some reason. Why is this film kind of panned at events like this? Is it just out too late for the award season?
I just think that, like, in another year, it would have been the movie. You know, like a couple of years ago, they had the movie Spotlight, which was about the newspaper reporters, and that was kind of a celebrated movie that year. But because the focus this year, particularly because of the way that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association works, like the focus wasn't on like there is a, I guess, a thread in the movie, because it's one where it's about a strong woman in a you know, normally a masculine role, and it's set in a period of time, so she's a forerunner and working on things like that in a kind of a dramatic historical setting. But it didn't really fit into all of the kind of the major points that they wanted to get at this year, I think. So I think that that's kind of part of it. I mean, these are respected people. They were all the people you mentioned were all there. In fact, at one point when they were talking about, there was a joke by Seth Meyer where he was kind of talking about how, you know, like Oprah Winfrey should run for president and then Tom Hanks should be her vice president. Like they were even pointing him out in that case. The Post is one that I haven't seen yet. I'm kind of interested in seeing it. Not sure if I will end up seeing it in the theater, might end up seeing it later. We'll see how things are shaking out with that one. But there is, I read something, and I think it was even like on the Huffington Post, which is a very unusual place to have criticism come up. But it was saying that that there's a kind of a conceit or a lie at the heart of the movie, The Post, which, you know, was that the villain, I guess, in it is President Nixon. But the truth of the matter is that President Nixon was not releasing the information about the Vietnam War, not because he personally was involved in a scandal, but rather because he was protecting the virtue of other people who came before him, or like other presidents and administrations before him, which were of a different political party even. So the fact that the movie doesn't really address that at all is something that I guess is noticed. I'm curious about the whole thing now, and I'd like to see it.
You wanted to talk about Call Me By Your Name.
Yeah, this is one that is going to probably come up more as the award season continues to unfold here. And this is a movie that, it's a surprising thing to have it come up in a year like this in terms of being recognized or included in the nomination lists for, it was nominated for a number of awards. It didn't win any awards last night, but the film itself is set in Italy, and it is about a 17-year-old boy having a relationship with a much older male adult. So it's a quote-unquote gay emerging sexuality kind of story in the Italian landscape. And Timothy Chalamet is in it as the young boy, and he's actually also plays a character in the movie Lady Bird. And he's having this relationship. He ends up having this relationship with Armie Hammer. Now, the thing about this movie is that it's about a adult having a sexual relationship with a underage person. And then you add on top of that that it's a gay relationship. And when you have people like Kevin Spacey, who he was called out for having a moment where he, you know, took advances on a teenage boy. And now you have this over here, though, and now it's a love story, and it's a, you know, an important drama, and it's touching and everything. So this is one of those moments where it feels like which is it? Like, are you going to like say that this over here is a wonderful thing? I guess in their, the way they would look at it in terms of Hollywood is that they would say, if Kevin Spacey and that the young actor, if it was mutual and it was consensual, then everything would be fine. But because it was not consensual, then there's the problem, right? Whereas I think the clear Christian perspective on it would be is that this is not appropriate either way. There is no appropriate way for this. So this is going to be one of those movies that's going to be touted and pushed and celebrated like Moonlight was last year, where it's advancing a desire to change hearts and minds, I guess. It's just there's some deep, deep hypocrisy connected to that film, I think, when you look at just what's going on in Hollywood right now and what is actually morally virtuous in the world. So if you've never heard of Call Me By Your Name, you're going to hear about it. It's going to be set up like a big romance, but it's not going to be, I haven't seen it yet. I can't say, you know, what the contents of it looks like apart from seeing the trailers, but it's just one of those things where I just don't even want, I don't want to even see it.
Oprah Winfrey accepted the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes, and she was no more on stage than at least social media was seeing this as an announcement of not only acceptance of an award, but acceptance perhaps of the Democratic nomination for president in 2020. What was happening there?
Well, she was linking it back to a previous winner of the award. So she remembered herself being a young person sitting and watching the Golden Globes and seeing another famous. Actually, the thing that really struck out to her the most was that it was a black man who was receiving the award. So she was watching, she says, sitting on the linoleum floor and seeing this black man, Sidney Poitier, in 1982 win the award. Or maybe actually she was probably talking about the Oscars, but he did end up winning the same award that she won, this Cecil B. DeMille Award in 1982. And it was Sidney Poitier that she saw up there as a black man being celebrated. It was one of the things that inspired her towards the trajectory of the life that she's had, like the, you know, her desire to go and get into media and also into movies and television and everything that she's been doing, basically. So she looked at the moment that she was receiving this as an opportunity for young women and other women to look and see her and say, you know, I can do something with my life, or I can get out there and do something, or, you know, and particularly because of what is going on right now and this focus on harassment of women in the workplace, that they could be encouraged to speak up and stand up for themselves in those kind of circumstances, and that this would be a watershed kind of historic moment for that. So there's nothing, you know, particularly, you know, modest about that, I suppose. But it's not that everything that she said was all, like, pretty much all, for the most part, good stuff. Like, you do want to have people that you can look up to. You do want to have, you know, hope for the future. You do want to see a new day dawning on certain terrible things. Everyone can get behind the idea that, you know, we ought to live sexually pure and decent lives, you know, and husbands and wives should love each other. That would be the sixth commandment. That would be the Christian look at this, right? They would say that, you know, as long as there's consent involved, then everything's okay. But the idea that people should be able to go to their workplace and not be sexually harassed is good. And we can all get behind that. And like when we were back in Austin, in Houston, Texas, rather, and we were having our panel discussion, we were talking before the Issues Etc. conference, we were kind of saying, well, you know, like people are coming out and castigating all of this stuff that's going on in Hollywood, you know, but now what? And the thing is, you want to see them actually start to do things to try to improve the situation. So perhaps this is actually them really trying to do something to improve the situation. Time will tell. We'll see if that kind of unfolds. But that was a clear part of what she was addressing. I think the thing that really got a lot of people was that it suddenly kind of almost seemed like it turned into a political rally. Like all of a sudden she was holding court and it was Oprah, and you know, the standing ovations came and the clapping came, but there was something to it. Like it wasn't like the previous year with Meryl Streep. There was something extra to it. And that's why the news media today is talking about that and what might things look like if she ran as the Democratic Party candidate for the next election. So that's kind of that's excited the imagination of the news media of the day today.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his reviews of many of the films nominated for the Golden Globes Awards at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Clinton Armstrong about Lutheranism and Calvinism in the second generation of the Reformation. There was a colloquy held between those second generation reformers of Calvinism and Lutheranism, exploring the typical differences of the atonement, the nature of grace, predestination. But what about the Lord's Supper, baptism, the person of Christ, or even the source of theological authority. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Issues, Etc. I'm Tad Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.